Thanks.
Well, church, if you were with us last Sunday we brought a conclusion to our Roots series, and if you guys remember, on this side of the church, you guys represented the salt. Remember this? And then we talked about light, and the light folks were over here. Do you guys remember this? Yeah? All right. And so I'm just curious, did any light folks sit over here today? Oh, there was one change over? Okay, you guys switched over too? Good. And then at the end of the service last Sunday, let's just do this. This is unscripted. So, salt and light. And we got together at the end of service and we talked about, hey, how is it that you could be salt and light in your world, in your places of work, in your neighborhood this week? And you're supposed to share, light was supposed to share with salt and likewise. And I was just, how'd it go? Yeah? Okay, were you able to do that which you were hoping to do as being salt and light? I told my the person that was light for me, I forget, who did I talk to last week? It was you. Yeah, it's Mike. I was going to reach out to a friend who had suffered loss in his family, and so I texted him, said, hey, can we connect through Zoom? Because he lives in a different country, it's Iowa, so it's kind of a different country. No, that's okay. That worked, and so we're going to this week. So I reached out, but but this week we'll be able to do that. So anyway, salt and light. Happy Church New Year. This is the start of the new church calendar in Advent, and it's a season unique among all others. For it's a season of longing. It's a season filled with hope. It's a season of waiting. It's a season of anticipation. It's also a season of far too much shopping. And it's a season of many things, actually, isn't it? So regardless of what this particular season, Advent 2020, means for you individually, as a family, or as a collective of people in this church body, grace and peace to each one of you this morning as we worship Jesus, who became flesh, to reveal more fully to mankind, to humankind, what our Creator is like. Our Advent theme is Restoration is Near. Restoration is Near. Why this theme of restoration? Well, unfortunately, it doesn't take a lot of energy to see, to know, to sense, to feel, to witness the reality that life around us and in our world is broken. Why restoration? One area of example here is that we don't need to, or we could look at the recent gun violence over the past 8 days. On a global scale, there's an ongoing war in Ukraine, and they are still using guns in that war. 277 days ago is when that started. On a national scale, Chesapeake, Virginia, Walmart, 7 dead, 6 injured. Colorado Springs, Club Q, 5 dead, 17 injured. Charlottesville, Virginia, University of Virginia, 3 dead, 2 injured. And we know that even locally here in Central Illinois, Peoria just suffered their 24th homicide of 2022 last Sunday. And by watching the local news, we see that systems of all kinds are broken, resulting in the absence of any chance of shalom or flourishing for all people to manifest. One of the lectionary passages for this Sunday, this first Sunday of Advent, is from the prophet Isaiah. How might we hold on to this promise of restoration? In Isaiah chapter 2, he will judge between the nations. He will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, Lord Jesus. That is our prayer. Perhaps in this season you're looking for restoration of a different kind. Maybe it's restoration relationally. You may have experienced a very real distance between you and family members over this Thanksgiving as a result of some sort of conflict, past hurt, or brokenness. And to be honest, a little restoration would be welcomed. And it could be that you have an awareness that awareness of the areas in which restoration is in need within yourself. As you sense that there's a lack of harmony or an absence of living from a place of integration deep within here, be it emotional, mental, or physical healing. We long for restoration personally in this season. And it could be that you're longing for or in need of restoration as you might feel particularly distant from God in this season. As you live and move and have your being in the world. There's lots of reasons that we need restoration. These are just a few. So as we head into this Advent season, we're invited to take an inventory. To take an inventory of our own lives and of the world around us. Where might we be in need of renewal and restoration? Because friends, restoration is near. For some of these areas of brokenness and chaos, we know that we have been waiting and watching and longing for restoration for a long, long time. And yet, our Advent theme is restoration is near. Is what? Near. So what is restoration exactly? What is restoration? Well, it can mean a great many things. And here it might be helpful to think of process, okay? Restoration can be the process of renewal. It could be the process of assembly, bringing together people or things that normally don't go together. It might undergo a process, restoration might undergo a process of complete transformation. Restoration can include a process of sorting out things, sorting out, okay? Keep that which is good and discard those things that are not useful anymore, okay? Restoration can also be found in a creative process where we can reimagine what could be given the raw materials from which we work with, all right? So restoration can happen on both a small or micro level, but also restoration can happen on a macro level as well. This restoration can happen within and through the ministries of a church, but we can see it also in many other places in society as well. Here's an example. One of the activities my family enjoys is watching any show that has to do with home makeovers, right? Anyone else fans of home makeovers or these kinds of things? We got Fixer Upper with Chip and Joanna, right? I don't think they're still shooting those, are they? I think that's... Maybe they started. So Dream Home Makeover, No Demo Reno, and our latest one, this Instant Dream Home. These shows are exciting, I tell you. They are exciting. These kinds of shows that people go away for a week or two, and a fly just landed. Sorry. These people go away for a week or two, and sometimes it's just even 12 to 24 hours. And they come back to a home that has been completely renewed or completely restored with new flooring, new cabinets, new paint, landscaping, you name it. And you know what happens at the end of these shows, don't you? Right? The family receiving the intentional transformations, the intentional restorations, tears of joy, right? The big reveal, Everything's brand new. Everything's been restored, right? What was less than becomes fully restored, okay? I would just love to see a show just once, just because I'm weird, that they come back and they say, change it back. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Have you ever seen one of those? Now, wouldn't that be funny? I think it would be great. Just change it back. We hate it. Those don't make it to air. Or if they ever happen, I don't know. So I just thought of it. Okay, anyway. Now, in most of these types of shows, the receivers of the restoration are actually active participants in that restoration. They sit with the designers, they sit with the builders about needs and desires that they have before the work even begins. And so it will be with our Advent series, Restoration is Near. We too are active participants in the processes of renewal, transformation, inviting creativity, and at the same time, God is our restorer. Psalm 80 reminds us, restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. So, restoration is near. Advent series 2022. Turn to someone and say, restoration is near. Okay. Now ask them the question, do you believe it? Because it's one thing to say, but do you believe it? Each week of this series, our scripture text will remind us or call us first to watch and pray, along with an invitation to awaken from the ways in which we may have fallen asleep, and then to take action and respond to a God whom throughout human history has always been faithful and revealed God's self at just the right season to invite restoration. Our gospel text for this Sunday is Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. It was read earlier, and I just have to share my honest, gut-level, pastoral confession that this is not my favorite text in the world. It just isn't. One of the reasons for my hesitation on this passage is that it's an apocalyptic text, right? And it's a key one in the formulation of end times theology or a rapture theology made popular perhaps by the Left Behind series books. This week, as I prepped, I think slog is the word that I would use in my preparation this week for the sermon. It's a difficult passage to understand, and I think it's a difficult passage to preach as well. So, Mike, would you come finish? So we head into, it's all right here. You can just read. So we head into verse 40 and 41. So we'll start in the middle, and we'll kind of just choose our own adventure and go through this, okay? We'll head to verse 40 and 41. Two men will be in the field, and one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Through the years, various creative types have attempted to capture this text in various sorts of ways. So I bring this morning a piece of satire. So hopefully...
Left below. Ooh, a He Is Risen production.
I wish you'd come to church with us, sweetheart.
Church? I'd rather play golf on the holiest day of the week.
Oh, finally, a character I can relate to. I bet good things happen to him.
But honey, with recent troubles in the Mideast and other ominous signs, the rapture could soon be upon us.
The rapture? Easy there, Helen. Science has shown religion is just an old wives' tale. I'm sorry, but the only thing I'm praying for is that you take it easy on our credit cards. Where did my Christian limo driver go?
hand is missing.
The baby I chose to have baptized is gone. Mr. Thompson, what's happening?
It's the rapture, Shauna. The rapture. The virtuous have gone to heaven, and the rest of us have been left below.
Left below? Where have I heard that before?
It's the title of the movie.
It's everywhere.
We were fools. And because we rejected God, tacitly accepting Satan, we must suffer through the apocalypse.
It's the title of the movie. Friends, I'm not sure this passage is about that. A theology centered on the idea of rapture is a way to understand this passage. It's a way. Though I don't believe it fits within the larger context of this narrative, which is it's chapter 24 and chapter 25. It's known as the Olivet Discourse. As we look at these verses in relation to the whole of the context, I'm not sure that this is to be used as a proof text for an impending rapture. Now, I find it odd that these words from Jesus in verse 36, now we'll go back to the beginning, verse 36, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And yet, still many, many people have sought to predict the end times or this second coming of Jesus. Much time and energy has been put into, and I would say maybe even equally much time and energy has been perhaps wasted, in giving undue emphasis and attention on what happens in world events, or specifically what's happening in the Middle East, as a precursor for what will happen, eschatologically speaking. It plainly says that no one knows. So maybe the invitation is to stop trying to figure it out. Seems logical to me. Brothers and sisters, I don't think that this is the point of the passage, especially, like I said, given the larger context of the discourse. This passage may seem to relate to the end of the story, but just as it was with Noah, it wasn't the end of the story. And I pause to say, in this present moment, wherever restoration is needed in your life that you are longing for, or with those whom you journey with, that isn't the end of the story either. Restoration is near. So what I do invite us to hold on to today from this text is the promise of the coming of the Son of Man. That's what I invite us to hold on to. Verse 37, as it was with the days of Noah, so it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. The Greek word here is formed from two different words. Literally can be translated being alongside. Also, this word can simply mean presence. The presence of the Son of Man. And it was literally translated to Advent by St. Jerome when he translated it from Greek to Latin. So Advent, this is where we get this Advent season, right? This coming season will be mysterious, sudden, and personal. Perhaps you could say it this way. Any type of the coming of the Son of Man, any second coming, third coming, fourth coming of Christ, is any time that Christ is present in the midst of our own floods. This word floods here is where we get the word cataclysmic, the harsh and devastating realities of life. Any time that Christ is present, Christ has come and is present to you. So a deeper look into this verse 40 and 41. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with the handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Now this is the NIV translation of the text, though we know that from Greek to English, there most often is not a one-to-one correlation with vocabulary. This verb, paralambano, this verb meaning taken, okay, has an extremely versatile wide range of meaning. Here are some of the possibilities: to take near, to take with oneself, to join oneself, an associate, a companion, to accept, not to reject, or to be led off as a prisoner. Well, what if that was chosen? You wouldn't want to be the one that was taken to be led off as a prisoner, okay? That may not be the best option. When Paralambano is here, we have, it's been translated as taken, okay? There are numerous questions facing the translator in order to capture its meaning. Also, this verb, aphiemi, also equally versatile and has a wide range, to send away, being released, to let go, to disregard, to leave, to give up a debt, or to forgive. To forgive. The most popular way to translate it, whenever it's connected to sins, is the idea of being forgiven. So another translation could very well read this way. When two will be in the field, one is taken near, and one is being forgiven, or one is being released. Two will be grinding at the millstone, one is taken near, and the other one forgiven. Verse 40 and 41, the interpretive question is what to do with these two verbs. What do we do with them? Again, the words in and of themselves carry a wide variety. There's no simple X in Greek means Y in English. And for some folks who have this sort of kind of left behind theology or this rapture theology, have argued that it means swept away and being left behind. So, yeah. I like the idea that some are taken near and others are forgiven, because both outcomes are good when the Son of Man comes. I like that. I like that. So as I studied, and I said the word slog earlier, you know, when I look at this text, this is me. I don't know. I'm telling you an opinion here, okay? I don't know. I don't know. I have to ask which one's maybe more helpful in my life now. I don't know. If this text is not about sort of some sort of rapture theology, then what is its focus? I believe the call here is for greater watchfulness and preparedness. That's what I think it's about. Watchfulness and preparedness. Noah is cited in our text. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be with the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days of the flood, but before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Noah was the one building this enormous boat, while everyone else was going about their daily business. It would be easy to think that their only sin was going about their business as usual, and because of that, they were then swept away. But the ultimate, their ultimate sin was not living a righteous life. That's why the flood came. Don't get caught up in this, just this knowing or not knowing. There was serious matters with the people of the days of Noah. They were not living righteous. That's why the flood came, okay? That's why the flood came. Next, the owner of the house. If the owner of the house had known at what time the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch. It would not have had let this house been broken into. The house owner and the people of Noah's day lacked knowledge of when the rains would come and when the thief was coming. Yes, however, the people and the homeowner were also, they were not in a state of watchfulness. They were not prepared. Because I think this text is about watching. It's about watchfulness. On that day, when these words were uttered by Jesus to this group of people, they were given a precious gift, a gift of knowledge. They now have been told about the coming of the Son of Man, and there was an invitation to live accordingly. Not in some sort of deep fear or despair, however, or in a constant state of worry, about when the time is coming. Because Jesus doesn't say when the time is, only that the Son of Man is coming. That's the important thing here. That's what brings us back to center. That's what brings us, that's the truth we hold on to. And he invites them to respond to that certain promise of God. And today, may we, as we interact with this text, okay, have that same invitation to live accordingly. In this sure and certain promise of God. It's true, they didn't know back then, and we don't know today. We don't know the hour or the day, right? Watchfulness, though, being prepared, is not a passive state. It's not a passive stance. Just checking our watches, just waiting for that day and that hour to come where we do nothing. And this is where the whole Olivet Discourse, chapter 25, okay? At the end of chapter 25, Jesus begins a teaching about sheep and goats. We're familiar with this. On his right hand are the sheep. They are the ones who are fed. They provide, or they are the ones who feed. They provide drink. They invite in. They clothe the naked, brought healing to the sick, and visited those who are incarcerated. The ones who will be taken near, released, forgiven, are the ones who are taking care of the least of these. Being prepared, being watchful, are to be found in the acts of faithfulness to Matthew 25. Being prepared, being watchful, are to be found in the acts of faithfulness to doing the things that the sheep are doing in Matthew 25, joining God in the acts of restoration. It's not about some sort of moment rapture thing, but a lifestyle to be inhibited. Now, just like the homemakers, just like the home makeover shows, the people are invited to participate in their own restoration of their houses based on their hopes and their dreams. And as participants of this restoration project that has been going on since the first coming of Christ over 2,000 years ago, what are your hopes and desires for this Advent season 2022? So we just hold these questions today as we close. Where are you looking for restoration? Where? What place of brokenness could use some renewal? Now is God inviting you to participate in that very restoration?
It's our prayer and sharing time. What is on your hearts today?